Welcome, welcome, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Rob Zicari. It's the Rob Zicari Show, and it's Thursday. All right, let's get to it. Ryan, the big face-off, Paul Ryan and Donald Trump have just finished their big meeting, the big summit. The big summit at, I think it was at Reince Priebus's office. I might be mistaken, but I think it was at Reince Priebus's office. I don't know. Catherine asked me before I went on the air. She goes, "So any news?" I go, "No, no." There was no endorsement, which I don't think anybody thought was going to happen. There was no fisticuffs, which I'm pretty sure nobody thought would happen. It was the Ryan show. That's what it was. We talked about this yesterday. The guy who didn't want to be the Speaker of the House, the guy that only did it for the good of his party, the guy that really is only doing what he's doing because he loves policy and he loves America first and all of this righteous stuff that he says. It was about him. That's what it was about. It was about him. That's all. It was about Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan on display. Paul Ryan as the gatekeeper. Paul Ryan front and center. That's what it was about. And my girl said, "Well, what the hell does that mean?" I go, "Exactly." Exactly. It was a meeting that gave no definitive outcome. And it's just got everybody talking. Me, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, all the other radio show hosts. That's it. It's a news cycle. It just gave it information. Now you can have panel after panel dissecting the words. Here, we'll start right now. We'll jump on the bandwagon. All right, just dissecting the words. That's it. That's what we do. We dissect the words. The United States cannot afford another 4 years of the Obama White House. This is Ryan, which is what Hillary Clinton represents. That is why it's critical that Republicans unite around our shared principles, advance a conservative agenda, and do all we can to win this fall. So this was a press release that was put out. It was a Trump-Ryan press release. While we are honest about our few differences, we recognize that there are also many important areas of common ground. We will be having additional discussions, but remain confident there's a great opportunity to unify our party and win this fall. And we are totally committed to working together to achieve that goal. Now, remember what I said, you guys. This whole uniting the party, it's not about the voters. Remember, it's not about the voters. The voters have already united. Just look at West Virginia. Just look at Nebraska. Remember what I said. Glenn Beck was screaming and yelling on his radio program, hey, if you all vote for Ted Cruz in the Nebraska primary, even though he has suspended his campaign, if you guys can propel him to win, he'll get back in. If you can get him close to winning, he'll get back in. So everybody, get out there and vote for Ted Cruz. Yeah, well, guess what? That didn't work out too good. West Virginia, the people said, no. Trump's our guy. They very easily could have said, we're not unifying the party. We will never, ever vote for Trump. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, it's Cruz or Kasich or nothing. But they didn't do it. So the voters are unified. The voters are unified. It's these arrogant a-holes that are on Capitol Hill that are not unified. And not all of them. Not all of them. But what Ryan's doing is unprecedented. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't. It doesn't happen with the Dems, and it doesn't happen with the Republicans until now. So this unification is about 30, 35 people. That's it. That's it. That's all it is. Paul Ryan and the few friends that he has. Because Mitch McConnell has got behind Trump. Kevin McCarthy has got behind Trump. Steve Scalise has gotten behind Trump. Pete Sessions, Tom Price, Mike Conaway, Lamar Smith. I mean, these are all people that are on board. And it's not necessarily, I love Trump. I think he's the greatest in the world. I love all of his policy ideas. I love everything that he says. I love him. It's not that. I'm not saying they don't like some of his ideas. I'm not saying his ideas. It's that's the nominee. You know, I hate to keep going to a liberal comedian. I hate going to Obama. But that correspondence dinner that Larry Whitmore did and Obama warmed the crowd up, I'd say he was the headliner. But when he said Republicans, it's either fish or chicken. There's no other option. It's fish or chicken. And the Republican voters picked. And now you got Paul Ryan playing this, well, I'm not real happy with who they picked. I'm not real happy with the dinner. You don't get a different dinner. You don't get pizza. There were two choices, chicken and fish. The people picked the chicken. That's what you have to eat, Paul. Sorry. You gotta eat what's in front of you. End of story. End of story. I mean, think of who's already in line. What the hell is Paul Ryan doing? What's he thinking? Well, I know I'm asking that, but I know the answer. The guy that is all about the party, the guy that's all about not himself, the guy that's, well, I'll do this if they force me to. I will be the speaker if they need me. If they really want me, then I'll do it. But that has to be on my terms as far as spending time with my family and so forth and so on. For that guy, it's really about him. It's really about power. It's about an agenda. It's about him wanting to have open borders. It's about him wanting to promote trade deals that are going to destroy American jobs. It's about him trying to pass a budget that goes against what Trump is selling to the American people. And it's about Paul Ryan not wanting to conform to Trump's agenda. That's what this was about. That's what this was about. It was about Paul Ryan saying to Trump, well, I'm for open borders. I'm for these trade policies. I'm for these things, and you aren't. So what are we going to do on this? And it's obvious by what's going on that it's always been about Paul Ryan. Because if it wasn't about Paul Ryan, he would have come out and said, you know what? The whole question of will I endorse, will I not? Well, that's our nominee. I'm going to back our nominee. His agenda is the agenda that millions and millions and millions and millions of people have voted for. His agenda and the things that he is saying is what people in Florida, what people in Pennsylvania, and people in Ohio are voting for. And those people have put him in the lead. But Ryan didn't do that because it's about him. It's about him. Especially when you have McConnell and McCarthy and Scalise. These are the other high-ranking Republican leaders in the Congress and in the Senate. Mitch McConnell. He's the leader of the Senate. Kevin McCarthy. Scalise. They're right under Ryan. Yes, Paul Ryan is Speaker of the House. Third most powerful person in government. The president dies, vice president dies, boom, Paul Ryan becomes president. But as far as a plurality, McCarthy, Scalise, McConnell, those three guys as a plurality outweigh Paul Ryan. So again, this is all just BS. This is all for Ryan's ego. It's all for Ryan's ego. That's all. It's all for Ryan's ego. It's all for the establishment. It's all for a handful of the establishment. Rather, it's Lindsey Graham, Paul Ryan, or even Mitt Romney. And we'll get to Mitt in a bit. Mike Lee. Imagine this guy's doing interviews saying Donald Trump scares him. Really? 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 Don't you believe in magic underpants, bro? Don't you believe in you want to talk about Scientology being kooky? I mean, Mormonism is right up there. Right up there. Joseph Smith and golden books buried in the dirt. That's right up there with Xenu and L. Ron Hubbard. And this guy says Trump scares him. Trump scares him. You're wearing diapers, bro. You're wearing magic underpants, okay? You're wearing magic underpants. And part of your religion. It's not a small group, but there's many people that believe in multiple wives and child brides. It's not one or two. So, scares. You want to talk about scares? So, it's still this establishment battle. It's still these ideas that have been traditionally Republican, cornerstones. If you're a Republican, you got to believe in A, B, C, D, and E. And if you vote Republican, you got to believe in A, B, C, D, and E. And if you waver at all from any of those points, you're not a Republican, or you're not a true conservative, or you're not a constitutional conservative. And here comes this person that literally steamrolled every single one of their establishment candidates who prescribe to the A, B, C, D, E philosophy. And here comes this guy, and he goes, well, I don't believe in this. I believe in that. I believe kind of in this. I don't believe in that. And the people that believe in that are stupid. And all these establishment types said, this guy's a joke. Nobody's going to take him serious. Nobody's going to vote for him. This is insane. People don't think like that. Look what's on TV. Look at the messages that we're putting out there. Look at what we want people to respond to. And since they're watching it, since this program has 3 million viewers, since this program has 5 million viewers, then that's all of America. And this guy just steamrolled all these people. And you got Paul Ryan types going, I can't get my brain around this. Look at Paul Ryan. He's Mr. Policy Wonk. He's the, you know, this policy, that trade, illegal immigration. We got to do this. We got to do that. I got to take pictures of myself surrounded by a bunch of little kids. We have to toe the line of policy that has been in place for 30 years. And the policy that I'm championing today is the same policy that was around 10 years ago. And it's policy that people rejected then. But because I'm cleaning it up, it's got a new face, it's got a new varnish, it's got new paint. I'm going to sell this to the people. But this time it will work because it's different. It smells new. It looks new. And Trump comes along and says, the people don't want that. You're wasting your time, stupid. And these establishment types can't handle it. They can't handle it. They just can't handle it. They can't. It really is overwhelming for them. It's overwhelming for them. It's literally overwhelming for them. And I think they just can't comprehend, even though they know deep down inside, one of the main factors being elected to become the president of the United States is having a personality, regardless if you think that personality is dry or vulgar, whatever. And it kills them. It kills them. I mean, you got to listen to some of the talk radio or some of the other pundits. It kills them that Trump is getting by on personality. The fact that he is not the greatest a policy thinker of our generation. It kills them. It kills these guys. It kills these guys that are lawyers or professors or some other, student of politics and science or philosophy or something of that nature. And some of them have been working in government since they were 24, 25, and they're 55 now. And they've never got higher than a congressman in a small district in Indiana or Michigan. And here comes this guy from New York, this billionaire, who hasn't been doing policy, that hasn't been practicing law, that hasn't been in Washington for 30 years. And he's thrown everything that these people have been told you have to know. You have to do in order to be elected and rise through the ranks of politics to maybe one day president of the United States. And this guy says, no, it's about personality. And every single one of you know this. And because none of you have a personality, you act like you don't know this. But you really do. Because you have no personality. You know you're not likable. I mean, think about every single nominee that's either been successful or have failed. Al Gore, what was he? Too stiff. Remember? Al Gore, too robotic. Remember after Al Gore lost and he went into hibernation and then came back with the climate change movie, the document, whatever that thing was, Inconvenient Truth, whatever it was. And he had the beard and he was all like hipster and, you know, loose. And people went, wow, where is this guy? If this guy would have ran in 2000, he would have won in a landslide. About Bill Clinton, he's playing the saxophone, wearing sunglasses, eating at McDonald's. It's all about personality. What about Obama? Huh? Barry, Mr. Panama hat, smoking a joint, playing basketball, getting his swag on. Personality. Remember what Ted Cruz said at one of the debates? If you're looking for a guy to have a beer with, I'm not your man. But if you're looking for a guy to drive you home after you've had a bunch of beers, I'm your man. And then what are you going to do? Kill me, Zodiac? Then what are you going to do? Date rape me, Zodiac? Am I gonna wake up? Am I going to wake up and my mouth is bleeding? My pants are around my ankles? And my bottom is sore? Is that what's going to happen, Ted? You're going to drive me home when I'm drunk. So all these people know this. And they just can't stand the fact that here's this guy that doesn't know a lot about policy. Guy that's gotten where he's gotten because of personality. And it kills them. It kills Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan is trying to get a budget passed. He's trying to convince a bunch of his members, we got to pass this this amnesty bill. We got to get these illegals permanent status. We got to give them voting rights. That's what we got to do. We got to give them voting rights. And if we give these 10 or 11 million illegals voting rights, then we can try to get them to vote for. I mean, this is what's going on in this guy's head. This is what's going on in this guy's head, along with about 20 or 30 others. But that's what's going on. That's what's going on. all about Paul Ryan. It's all about Paul Ryan. This never, ever happened before. You get a nominee. Everybody falls in line. There is no, oh, well, I'm not fully there yet. I'm not fully there.